The Apple II computer is the most widely used computer ever. This Apple IIe computer with monitor, disk drive, and add-on memory card is on sale for $1,195. Buy now and you'll receive a $150 Apple rebate, bringing your cost to just $1,045. Buy now and receive a free training seminar and 6 tutorial diskettes, all at your electronic solutions and computer solution stores. Apple, Apple, Apple.
Hello! Welcome to Colcassie Best 30 Plus Minute Apple Conversation. You're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Arifon Elijah, sitting here so sweaty. Joining me today, he and his family have finally returned from their Alabama holiday, where surprisingly chair-breaking bar brawls had suddenly spiked 38% in local local bars. Leander Caney is here.
Hello, Arifon.
Also with us, his wit is as sharp as his darts. Lewis Wallace is here.
Ah, yes, in fact, I am.
Are you still wearing your utility belt with all the darts in it, Lewis?
No, I've got that in a special hermetically sealed case waiting my next tournament, which is this weekend.
Oh, you got a tourney this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, how intense.
Oh, so
gonna be on the floor throwing the darts, and you were saying earlier that your forearm is just engorged. It's just ready to toss those darts.
Popeye style.
Well, we have so much good stuff to talk about this show, as you can well imagine. I love it when this happens, when the news drops hot and heavy right before we started recording the show. We were going to talk, and we still will, about this Ming-Chi Kuo report about all the hardware that he expects Apple to update this coming fall. And then this morning, out of nowhere, bah! New MacBook Pros, Apple released quietly, without much fanfare, new MacBook Pros, and I have all the details that you want to know, all the updates. Has the keyboard been fixed? You might be wondering. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about all the hardware products that he thinks are going to be released. And then, one of the most bizarre, one of the strangest Apple stories I have ever come across in my, I don't even know how long we've been doing this, 5.5 years, almost 6 years of doing the Cultcast. I will tell you about one of the strangest Apple headlines, one of the strangest Apple stories I've ever seen in my life. It has to do with the Apple Watch. Stay tuned for that. And we're going to wrap up with an all-new What We're Into, where we talk about the things that don't necessarily have to do with technology, things that we're into in our lives, things that are mysterious, weird, wacky, fun, you name it. It could be any of those things. So stay tuned for that. Before we jump into the banter about these brand new MacBook Pros, which I'm very excited about, Leander is going to tell us a little bit about the Cultamac watch store. Did you know there's a Cultamac watch store where you can go to find accoutrement for your Apple Watch? All the best stuff, the best straps can all be found at store.cultamac.com. Leander, take it away.
Yeah, you know, it really is looking great these days. You know, we've got so much stuff. It's totally the best one-stop shop, I think, for Apple Watch accessories. You know, because you can find this stuff all over the web, but you can't find it in one place. And I think, you know, we've got dozens and dozens of vendors now. It's a really good place to browse, to see what's available, what's out there. And there's a huge range of stuff. You know, like, I was just looking at these new World Cup bands from Casetify. They're leather bands outfitted in different countries. They look like, you know, some of the football kit or the flags of different countries. They're really, really nice looking, really, and quite affordable, $52. There's a whole bunch to choose from. Of course, the England ones are really cheap now that they've been knocked out by Croatia.
That's too bad.
Spoiler!
Yeah, that one is a stinker.
Oh, you can still show your pride, your English pride.
Right. you know, and one of the most popular products we've got at the moment is this double charger that will charge both your watch and your iPhone at the same time from Whip Labs. And of course, you know, this is while we're waiting for the what's it called, the Air Power charger from
the
Apple?
Air Power Mat, which I'm not even sure is real.
Right, well, it was promised at last WWDC for later that year, and it still hasn't. So another WWDC has gone around and it still hasn't shipped.
I think they officially announced it the last time they updated the Mac Mini.
which is about 5 years ago.
Isn't that when they made the official announcement? So anyway, you have your own version, which I'm sure is probably even better than the official Apple version.
This thing has been selling like crazy, like hotcakes. We've had a lot of orders for this. It's the Whip Labs Wii Duo 2-in-1 wireless charging pad for Apple Watch and iPhone. And like I said, it'll charge up your iPhone, if you have an iPhone 8 or an iPhone 10 with wireless charging, and your Apple Watch at the same time. And it's only $49.99, $50, which is a lot cheaper than the Apple one. Whatever that's going to be when it.
Oh, it's probably be $699 for the AirPower Mat.
$699. Didn't they say the price wasn't going to be $150?
Did they officially announce the price? I don't think they did.
Yeah, I don't think it's been announced.
Okay, maybe that's some speculation about what it was going to cost. But yeah,
but you don't need the Air Power Mat for $150. Even if it is $150, that's $100 more than the one that you sell, which is arguably better in all ways. Even though we haven't actually seen the Air Power Mat, and we don't know what it will actually do, but there's no denying it. It's probably better.
It's better because in the fact that you can buy it.
It's actually real.
And I would definitely, I would urge people, everyone, to immediately stop this podcast.
Pull over.
Go to your browser. Yeah, pull over. Go to
even
store.
Better, just slam on your brakes. It doesn't matter if you're on the freeway. Stop what you're doing and go take a look at this wonderful product.
Right, yeah. And it's store.cultomag.com. Store.cultomag.com.
Do you think I could be sued for saying that? Someone actually slams on their brakes in the interstate? I hope not. You should pull over safely first. Yeah. Pull over safely first. Make sure that you're on the side of the road. Before we continue, is somebody clicking a mouse or something?
Sorry, that's me.
Oh, my gosh. Would you cut it out with the clicking?
With an open window.
How many clicks can you do on one mouse? I hear you clicking like every 3 seconds. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm selecting text. Selecting and unselecting text as I read through.
Oh, really?
It's a really bad habit.
So you're like following the words as you go down with your mouse?
You select a big chunk of text as I'm on a page.
Dear Lord. I was like, how can someone possibly be clicking that much?
I know. It's a weird, sort of compulsion I have.
You're about to make me go all Bill O'Reilly on you. Jeez. Rip my shirt off and start yelling. Okay. Let's talk about these brand new MacBook Pros, which I think these might be it. I think this might be the MacBook Pro update that I finally been waiting for. I'm not sure I can resist these. So as we have been expecting, although not this soon, Apple has updated the MacBook Pros with the 8th gen Intel Coffee Lake CPUs and quieter keyboards. That's the headline here. So here are all the updates. So the 13-inch MacBook Pro has been upgraded with Coffee Lake CPU, which means it goes from 2 cores to 4 cores. The 15-inch MacBook Pro also is being updated with the Coffee Lake CPU, which means it goes from 4 cores to 6 cores. And i7s are available on both machines, and a faster i9 chip is available on the 15-inch MacBook Pro, which is just a much faster chip, a much, much faster version of the Coffee Lake CPU. Apple says that the 15-inch MacBook Pro will have a 70% increase in performance, and the 13-inch model should be about double in speed. Now, I don't know how much I buy that, but we were talking about the Geekbench scores last week of a 13-inch MacBook Pro, what looked to be a 13-inch MacBook Pro, and they were like a 40% increase in multi-core scores. And that's because, well, you're getting 2 more cores. I mean, imagine that in your core-intensive applications like Final Cut Pro 10, Logic, you name it. This is going to be a beefy update if you do any actual real computing on your MacBook Pro. Now, let's talk about the keyboards. Apple said that they made the keyboards quieter, but when The Verge asked them about all the issues that have been going on with the keyboards, first Apple said, these issues, they're not that big of a deal. They're only affecting a tiny portion of our user base. You really shouldn't worry about these whatsoever. They probably won't affect you. But by the way, these keyboards haven't been updated to address those issues in any way. So they made the keyboards quieter, but they didn't fix any of the potential issues that you might have with those keyboards, which is worrisome to me. And I didn't have a chance to check this out before we started recording. I wonder if they're applying the extended warranty that they just announced to this version of the MacBook Pro as well. I'm guessing they will, because it's using virtually the same keyboard as the other Macs that are having all the keyboard issues. If not, if they're not applying that warranty to these machines, I may not buy this machine. That's how big of a deal I think these keyboard issues are. But if they are, I might just go for it because it's a 4-year warranty and you might have problems with your keyboard, but at least you'll be able to get them fixed. Hopefully you can get them fixed quickly and you won't have to send your machine in for a week to have the whole keyboard replaced, which would be an absolute nightmare. which is a possibility.
Aren't you really excited about these machines?
Yes, I am excited about these machines.
It's not really coming across.
No, really?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, my nipples are at full mast, El Kenny. I couldn't be more excited about these machines.
Yeah, I saw your tweets about it earlier today. But I'm trying to temper my excitement. Well, I mean, you're worrying about this keyboard, but I think they're Apple, you know, I don't know. I take Apple at its word. You know, it's a tiny portion of customers are affected by it.
I want to believe that, but so many people who have tested out these keyboards have had issues with the keyboards that it makes me believe that it's affecting more people than Apple is letting on. Maybe it is a tiny fraction of users, but the keyboard is such a critical component. If you do start having issues with your keyboard and you have to take it in and the Genius Bar has to, well, my Apple Store doesn't even have a Genius Bar anymore. The Apple IT team has to send it in for repairs, and that takes a week. I mean, can you imagine being without your Mac?
Well, of course, yeah, it's a huge week. But wouldn't they have redesigned it or ditched it if it had been really that problematic?
I don't know. I think eventually they will, but they haven't had enough time to react to this. So I think they are trying to minimize the impact of this issue on sales. And they're trying to triage and they're trying to say, what can we do to make this seem like it's not a big deal? So they did the warranty and they're saying it doesn't affect a lot of people, which may not be a huge part of their user base, but it seems to be significant.
Well, it seems to be, you know, there's a lot of vocal people who are vocal about it. And it seems to be, and it's definitely, one of those perception problems, you know, one of those problems that, definitely people are aware of it, I think, you know, especially people who read the blogs and stuff. But
well, again, it's a critical component of your Mac. If your keyboard doesn't work, right, you need the keyboard to work. It's the prime input mechanism for your laptop. So
right, yeah,
when it stops working, people get pissed. I can understand that.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm probably still going to buy one of these machines.
Which one are you going to go for?
I'm probably going to go for the 15-inch. It's actually a really tough decision because the 13-inch now has a quad-core processor, which is what I've always wanted. But I got to go with the pure, raw horsepower.
I'm going to get the i9 with 6 cores.
Oh, I'm going with the $6,700 MacBook Pro.
Dang.
No, I'm not. There's not a chance in hell I would pay $6,700 for a MacBook Pro. I think you'd have to be insane, or you'd have to be like a oil sultan to pay that much for a MacBook Pro.
What do you get for that, for $6,700?
Okay, so there is a $6,700 option if you want to throw down and really be a big Mac baller. I wasn't joking about that. With that, you get the upgraded i9 processor, which I think is like a $270 option. You get 32 gigabytes of RAM, which is new for these machines. You can also get, and this is where the big upgrade cost comes into play, a 4 gigabytes or a 4 terabyte, I should say, SSD option. So I think that upgrade was $2,700.
Wow. Whoa.
And the base SSD is 512, right?
$2,700 for an 4 SSD. That's
right.
Crazy. 4 gigabytes is pretty good, isn't it? It's pretty generous.
Yeah. But I put 4 gigabytes in the notes. I should have put 4 terabytes.
Terabytes, yeah. Right.
I mean, it would basically make it your ultimate traveling 4K editing machine. So you could take this thing anywhere. You would never have to worry about running out of space. And the SSD is, you know, blazing fast. You'd have plenty of storage space to put a bunch of footage on there. You might even be able to edit like RED footage or something on a MacBook Pro of this power and with this much storage. I'm going to go with the base model MacBook Pro, I think, the 15-inch. I don't see a huge need to upgrade to the i9 processor. It will make exporting and processing in Final Cut Pro faster. I don't know how much faster, but it's not worth the $300 cost to me. I think 16 terabytes or 16 gigabytes of RAM is good. 512 gigabytes on the SSD is a little slim these days, and they've been offering that as the base forever. I kind of wish they would have upgraded to 1 terabyte. I think that is more appropriate of a machine for a machine of this cost.
Yeah, right.
But
especially for a pro machine, yeah.
And it's a pro machine. And, man, these machines are so expensive. They haven't raised the price, by the way. They're still the same cost. The base is still the same cost as before.
So how much would that set you back with that configuration?
I think I have to look. I think it's $2,900, but I might be wrong about that. I probably should have checked that.
So $3,500 by the time you add some tax in, or $3,300?
Yeah, well, don't forget about all the dongles, the dongle hell that you're going to go through. And that was one of the things I didn't think about immediately when I got excited about these machines is, and this kind of tempered my excitement a little bit, is you got to get new USB cables. You have to get dongles for this thing. And I was like, oh, dude, I don't want to have to buy all new cables and dongles and carry all this crap around with me, or I'm going to have to get a dock. And that really, it really chapped my hide. I don't want to do all that crap. And all of my current accessories all use USB-A. So that means I'm going to have to get adapters for my USB-A cables or buy USB-C cables or something. And my monitor is not going to work with the new Mac without either a dock, or I have to buy their stupid Thunderbolt 2 to Thunderbolt 3 adapter, which I absolutely do not want. But so it's that kind of stuff that I was like, that was kind of bumming me out because I don't want to have to buy all those extra accessories. What else do we have? Oh, we should mention this. Both models now come with a True Tone display, which will allow the screen to change its color temperature based on the color temperature of the room you're in. Also, interestingly, the touch bar will also support True Tone. And these will be the first Apple laptops to support Hey Siri, so you can just say Hey Siri and your HomePod comes on when you're podcasting, hopefully it doesn't start talking. And also now your Mac will come on too and also start chirping at you while you're in the middle of a podcast.
Right, and
so
your phone,
that will
your
be
watch
great.
And everything.
So I think this is a compelling offer based purely on the CPU alone.
What about the GPU? Did you check out the GPU?
So yeah, I think the NVIDIA stuff is way more powerful and way more exciting than the Radeon line of graphics that Apple always uses. Those don't really ever get me that excited. And also, the 13-inch doesn't have a discrete graphics chip. It still uses the Intel, I think, 655 integrated graphics chip, which is fine. It's fine, but it's not exciting in any way. Those kind of things don't really... I don't even ever consider those in my purchase decision because Apple just isn't using the best GPUs that are out there. NVIDIA is making smoking hot, super fast GPUs, and Apple doesn't put them in their machines, unfortunately. So let me see if there's anything else I wanted to mention. No, that's it. So I think these are compelling machines, and I don't think I can resist. I think this is going to be the one for me. The money I've been saving for years.
Yeah,
waiting.
How is this? What are you using right now? Like a 2013
MacBook Pro.
Huh.
I do have to say, I am sad that I'm going to have to let go of my USB-A, my SD card slot, my MagSafe. Oh, one of the best inventions ever made, certainly by Apple. One that has saved my computer from being launched to the floor many times.
Right. Well, you can get a faux MagSafe. There's a bunch of like little dongles. There you go. There's another one.
There
for you
go. Yeah.
You can get like a magnetic USB-C.
I think Belkin has one, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, they do. And I saw somewhere that the reason they don't do the MagSafe anymore is because these are now data cables, right? And you don't want to lose a data connection.
Interesting.
If it gets
kicked
out.
That's an interesting point. Yeah. It still sucks, though, because MagSafe was so eminently useful. And
right. And
other stuff. Not having USB-A on this machine. I mean, I can go into a whole rant about things that I'm not happy about. Not having the glowing Apple logo on the back. I love that logo. It's a sign of my prestige. And now I just have that stupid reflective metal logo, which I don't like nearly as much.
That's classy.
The reflective metal one?
Uh-huh.
It doesn't effervesce with the power of Apple, with the design power of Apple. It just sits there plainly. So there's a lot of stuff that I'm missing moving up to the new machines, but I do think that it's time. I mean, my machine's getting old, and I was trying to do some rendering in Final Cut Pro 10 the other day. I had some green screen footage, and I was trying to render myself against it. Oh my gosh, so slow. Took forever. I was constantly just waiting for the rendering to happen. And in Final Cut Pro 10, you almost never have to wait for rendering to happen. And my machine is just so old now that it can't do that stuff very fast. So I do think these are compelling machines. What do you guys think? Am I the only one that's excited? It feels like not many people are excited about these machines.
I think it sounds awesome. I mean, anytime you get more speed and more power at the same price, that's awesome. I mean, by the way, you're using a computer that's what? How many years old? 5 years old?
Yeah, 5 years
which
old.
Which is
over 5 years old.
Which is pretty impressive, to be quite honest. And when you said, the only thing I would quibble with is what you said, oh, I'm not going to get the i9 processor. Why not? Pay the extra $300.
You've convinced me, Lewis.
You're going to be using this for a long time. You want it to be as future-proof as possible.
Well, yeah, but then if you start maxing everything out, then you're up in the $7,000 range, aren't you?
I didn't say max everything out. I don't think you need a 4-terabyte hard drive. But, you know, if the processor really is only $300 extra, come on. Do yourself a favor.
Come on, just do it. You know, you would, too. There's a point of diminishing returns, and I think the processor is often – upgrading the processor is often at that point where you might – my guess would be by upgrading the processor, you might see like a 7% increase in performance, maybe even less in some applications.
Yeah.
So for me, $300 for a 5-7% increase in speed in some scenarios is just not worth it. Now, I don't know what the actual increase is because I haven't had a chance to check that out since Apple just announced this stuff. It might be more. If it's 15%, I think that would be... That would be a better reason to actually throw down the money and to use it and to get the better processor. But also, my hope is I'm not going to be upgrading every 5 years. I would like to be upgrading every 2 to 3 years. But unfortunately, Apple just has not put out a machine that I thought was worth the price that they were asking. And even this one, I'm still not convinced that it's worth the money that they're asking for it. But I am in the Apple ecosystem. I want a new MacBook Pro, and so I'm more willing to throw down this money and just bite the bullet and do it. If I didn't care about Apple, for the amount that they're asking for this machine, you could buy like a Razer laptop with an insane CPU, an insane NVIDIA GPU setup. You could get a really nice PC for this amount of money. And that's compelling if you don't need to be in the Apple world. But we are in the Apple world. We like being in the Apple world. And it's worth it to us, damn it. We're willing to spend the extra money, right, guys?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Leander, are you going to be buying one of these machines?
No. I got a fairly recent MacBook.
Yeah.
The 13-inch, the smaller ones. And, you know, I don't need the horsepower, you know. I mean, for writing and surfing the web. And, you know, I don't do anything that, you know, needs really heavy-duty processing.
I think Lewis does, though. Imagine how many more Apple stories Lewis could write if you got him one of these $6,700 MacBook Pros.
Well, he's got one, too. And have you had any problem, Lewis, with the machine that we both have?
No, it's been absolutely fine. And I love how lightweight it is. Right. I'm not even that bothered by the USB-C thing because, I mean, frankly, I have one dongle that I use to plug in a microphone. I have a dock that I use to plug in the monitor. I don't really need it. I don't need to take the dock with me when I'm on the road because I'm not going to be using a monitor.
Right.
I have one little dongle. It's like,
but you have a dock. You have like a $300 dock.
Yeah, it's not a $300 dock. I guess it's more of a hub than a dock. Excuse me. Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, I don't know. I can see why it chaps people's ass the wrong. Yeah, but
Yeah, I like, you know, the battery life and how lightweight it is and the fact that it's kind of stealth. And I even like the keyboard. I mean, I really like the keyboard. I think it's a really, really beautiful machine. The screen is fantastic. I like the way the keyboard lights up at night. For my sort of limited use case, it's absolutely perfect computer.
You have a 13 or a 15?
13.
The 13 is probably the perfect size, I think, for a notebook. I'm really tempted to go with a 13, and you save a bunch of money that way too, but I'm using this for creating video content, and the extra horsepower is something that I think I'll need, and also having a larger screen is nice. It's hard to edit video on a 13-inch MacBook Pro, especially when you have apps like DaVinci, which have tons of panels open, and the actual video ends up looking really small on your screen. But then again, I have it plugged into a 34-inch monitor most of the time. So do I really need a 15-inch? Or am I just convincing myself yet again that I need to spend the extra money to get the absolute best that Apple has to offer? It's probably that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's right. that. It's hard to resist, though, isn't it? I mean, this stuff's so beautiful. It's such nice hardware. And like you said, you're going to be using it for years. And it's the kind of thing you keep on double guessing, you know. But you know what it is, you know, I mean, really, you're buying it with your heart. You're buying it with your emotions, and then all this, then you rationalize it afterwards.
Especially when you're in one of those new Apple stores, like the one in Seattle, Leander. Oh my gosh, it's so beautiful in there that it makes you feel euphoric. You know that feeling? I'm dead serious. You know that feeling that you get with a new Apple product? How you have that tangible lust factor for it? We've talked about this on past episodes. That's what the store is. It's one of Apple's most beautifully designed products. You feel like you're at the Louvre, and then you walk in and that feeling transfers to all the different products that they have elegantly displayed, and it makes you want to spend massive money when you're in there. I'm telling you, it's genius. They're going to sell so many more products in these stores than those little dinky Apple stores they had before, because you feel like you're shopping inside of a museum.
Yeah, right. Well, I want to go to that new store in Macau. Have you seen the pictures?
I haven't seen the pictures of that one.
Oh, it looks fantastic. It's got like full-size trees growing inside.
Really?
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Man, that puts ours to shame. Actually, we have full-size trees in our store as well, except they're not actually inside the store. They have them encased in glass, and the trees are in the ground, and then the ceiling above the trees is gone. So it's inside the store, but it's still outside.
Oh, open to the air?
Does that make sense?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and then they have these amazing articulating doors that are programmatically controlled to keep the air temperature inside the structure, like the perfect temperature. And then there's the bathrooms, which are, well, I can't go on a tangent on these Apple store. I'll probably talk about it in the next 15 minutes. Actually, I'll link to, well, I can't link to it yet. I haven't released it. I'm putting out a video of my experience inside this Apple store really soon. So I'll post that on my Twitter.
Well, you made a video, I Justine style?
Yeah, in fact, around? I was there the same day she was there.
Really?
Yes. But
Did you do a little song and dance number?
I didn't make my video the same day. I just happened to be at that mall. It's called the University Village Mall. And Apple had their grand opening that day. I had no idea it was even happening. And then I went and looked at the store. And then there was I Justine running around the store doing all her stuff and getting it out way faster than me and looking much better than I was doing it and having it be way more polished. But in any case, I still wanted to do my reaction to it. So I have that video coming out very soon. It's pretty much all edited. I just have to do like the notes and the thumbnail.
Give us a heads up and we'll stick it on the blog.
Oh, really? That'd be wonderful. Yeah, it's...
I thought we'd just send it to Steve and we'll put it on our tech channel.
Yeah, you might want to watch it first before you... I don't know if it's up to Steve's quality standards. Yeah, I mean, I kind of didn't know what I was doing and I hadn't ever done anything like this before. And it was, honestly, it was overwhelming being in there and trying to get footage of everything. But the weird part is they didn't even care. I was going through there with my camera and taking video of stuff and they were all totally fine with that. And they were actually coming up to me, talking to me about the different features of the store and telling me why certain features were cool. And so it was strange. You know, normally they're like, no video, but not anymore. Yeah. Anyway, okay, let's move on. We're running long already. Let's talk about all the expected upcoming hardware announcements that are probably going to happen in the next couple months, I would guess. Noted Apple analyst Ming-Chi Kuo has basically just confirmed what I said a couple weeks ago. Apple is about to drop an orgasmic amount of updated hardware products on us. And one of the things he said was going to be updated was the new MacBook Pro, which we just got this morning. According to Kuo's new report, Apple is getting ready to update almost their entire hardware line. Leander, tell us about the iPhones and the iPad, won't you?
Yeah, so the iPhone, there's three new iPhones in the works, two OLED models in 5.8 and 6.5-inch sizes, and one lower-cost LED model that will be available in a 6.1-inch size. All three will feature Face ID and upgraded A12 processors, while the two OLED models will have dual-lens cameras, the lower-cost model will feature a single-lens camera.
And also the iPad Pro.
Okay, I thought we were going to discuss these ones real quick.
Oh, yeah, we can discuss them.
6.5 inches sounds awesome. That's going to be humongous.
I mean, I don't know how I'm going to fit that in my pocket, but I'm going to try.
Oh, you're going to have to get, like, you know, those weird, you know, you're going to have to wear dungarees, right?
I'm going to have to wear Costco dad jeans.
Yeah, with giant pockets on them.
Which, you know, I think is worth the sacrifice, the fashion sacrifice to have that phone in your pocket, 6.5 inches.
Yeah, right. I'm totally going to go for that. That sounds awesome. I'm so in love with my iPhone 10. I still love the thing. Jeez. Like, Face ID is so great.
It's remarkable, isn't it?
It is the best thing ever, yeah. Especially for doing things like paying and passwords. It's completely different now, you know?
Passwords especially. Having to touch the Touch ID thing on my iPad to actually enter my password feels like something cavemen used to do.
Oh, yeah. It's just awful, isn't it? I mean, it's completely
it's terrible, darling.
Anyway, so the iPad Pro. Apple is working on two new 11-inch and 12.9-inch iPad Pro models that are equipped with full-screen design similar to the iPhone X and no home button. So bye-bye home button on the iPad Pro. And it's going to get, of course, you know, Touch ID is going to be replaced with Face ID. So good news there. That sounds awesome. I can't wait to do
this.
It's
going
to
be an expensive year. It's going to be an expensive year. These things are going to cost $800, $900 probably.
There's a curious thing, though, about that. You know, like no bezels on the iPad. I mean, the iPad's had a bezel. I remember when I wrote, you know, when I was doing the Johnny I book and I was talking to the designers there about the bezel. And the bezel was, you know, designed so that you could... It wouldn't do accidental, finger presses and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they really felt strongly at the time when they designed the first one that it was going to need a big wide bezel all the way around to make it usable. Otherwise, because the way you held it or the way it was being held, they couldn't do it with a full screen design. At least that's what I remember them saying. And I wonder whether that's true anymore, I wonder what changed.
I thought the same thing because the bezel on an iPad is the handle. It's where you hold it.
Yeah, because you can't hold it like a phone.
Right, unless you have giant Andre the Giant hands, you know.
You got to have your thumb on the front to, to actually sort of grip the thing, don't you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, I am curious to see how that works as well. There's probably going to be a smaller bezel. It's not going to be bezel-less, I'm sure.
Okay, well then, isn't that what a full-screen design is, though?
Yeah, bezel-less? But that is... It's subjective. Full screen, I've seen some phones say full screen and there's still a tiny bezel around, and there are certain phones like some Samsung phones that really do have no bezel. So that term I don't feel like has a solid definition. When they say bezel-less, it just usually means a thin bezel, a very thin bezel, or or like a very dainty bezel. You know, it doesn't mean that it's not there at all.
Okay. Yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Okay.
And what about the sizes, though? That's, 13-inch iPad.
That's what it
I would
is.
Be interested in an 11-inch iPad. So basically, they're just taking the iPads and just taking off the bezel, making the screens a little bit larger,
Oh, got it, right. I see. Yeah, right.
So, and that 10.9-inch iPad, I was looking at it in the Apple Store, and I was like, whoo, what a beauty. And they had the Apple Pencil out there, and I was just sketching on it and stuff. And it's a really fantastic machine. Again, I'm using an iPad. I'm using the iPad Air 2 because I have no reason to upgrade because I just use it to watch Dr. Disrespect videos on YouTube before I go to bed, right? It's the only thing. That's literally the only thing I do on my iPad these days. So I have no reason to spend the money and buy a new one. But depending on what these look like, I might throw down the money. And there looks to be a updated Apple Watch coming too, which we'll talk about here in a minute. Lewis, there's going to be... 5 or 6 people listening to this show who are going to be very excited about what you're about to say.
The poor neglected Mac Mini. Ming-Chi Kuo says that we are going to finally get a processor upgrade in the Mac Mini. Not a whole lot of other information. May not be any other additional upgrades. May not be a redesigned body. But after 3.5 years, the Mac Mini is going to get a refresh.
Can you believe they're still charging full price for that machine?
Yeah, can I? Yeah, I can. Solely because Apple operates.
I wonder if they're selling any at all. Who buying a Mac Mini that's 3.5 years old? I just can't imagine why anyone would do that.
I had a friend buy one just that long ago.
Really?
Yeah. You know why? Because it's a small Mac, and he's got everything else he needs. He's got he's got a monitor. He's got everything else. He just needs a Mac. So he bought one.
You have a friend that bought one not that long ago?
Yeah.
You let him do that?
Yeah, he didn't consult me.
Friends like you.
What's he going to tell him? Just wait. They're going to update it any day now. You know, that's 2020, 2022, 2025. They might even get one by then.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if they put a Coffee Lake processor in the Mac Mini. That would be a compelling offer.
I have a question about that. What is Coffee Lake?
What is Coffee Lake? What do you mean?
Yeah, where's the name come from?
Oh, Intel just pulls these names out of their digital butt cheeks.
Apple using, Yosemite and High Sierra, naming after real places. Is that really real? There's not a real Coffee Lake.
Oh, is there an actual Coffee Lake? I don't think so. Because their other chip names have had names that don't sound like places, like Haswell, Broadwell, Skylake. So I think it's just some internal naming convention that they use. I have no idea why they call it Coffee Lake. There's probably a Coffee Lake somewhere.
There's a Coffee Lake on my countertop after the kids are making coffee in the morning.
I just leave a huge mess.
Oh, boy. Clean up.
Yeah, so a Coffee Lake upgrade to the Mac Mini, I think, would be a pretty compelling offer for an inexpensive machine to have a quad-core or a six-core chip. Woo, mama! That might be something that I would actually be interested in. And I have
I'm going to buy everything on this list.
I'm going to buy everything on the list, yeah. I'm going to have to take out a home equity loan to afford the products this year. So let's see. What else do we have? Oh, he also talked about a new low-price notebook. He said that Apple is designing a lower-cost notebook of some kind. He originally said it was going to be part of the MacBook Air family, but now he doesn't seem so sure about that. So we'll see what happens there. Also, iMacs, he said he expects a significant display performance upgrade and a processor refresh. Don't know what it means exactly, display performance upgrade, so we'll have to see what Apple does there. Processor refresh undoubtedly means Coffee Lake. And that will be interesting because the baseline iMac Pro is not as fast as some base-level Coffee Lake setups that I've seen. So it's possible that the Coffee Lake iMac is going to be faster than the iMac Pro in some applications. And the iMac Pro is $5,000. So that would be, it's very interesting to see what Apple is going to do there. I think there might be some cannibalization that happens there. Finally, the Apple Watch. Apple is working on two new Apple Watch models for 2018 that will have bigger displays and enhanced heart rate detection. The two watch models will measure in at 1.57 inches, which is about 40 millimeters, and 1.78 inches, which is about 45 millimeters. A roughly 15% bigger screen is also expected. What he didn't say is if the watches themselves will be larger or if it's just that the bezels are going to disappear and the screen themselves are going to be larger. That would be my guess as to what happens.
Well, right, because previous theme. Rumors have said that they'll be compatible with current accessories, right?
Oh, really? I didn't read that. So, yeah, so that would lead me to
believe
that.
I don't think it is in this latest report, but, previous rumors about the display sizes changes.
I would love to see a form factor redesign entirely. I think that square shape is kind of getting old, and I would love to see something round from Apple, but I don't think we're going to see that in the next refresh or maybe anytime soon. But a larger screen would be welcome. And if they do a larger screen, well, guess what? I might buy one.
What a surprise.
I might get a couple, one for each hand. I'm getting one watch for each wrist. Because why not? I'm going all in, guys. I'm going all in. It's going to be, when they start announcing all this stuff, it's going to be hard to resist. There's going to be so much fanfare and so much excitement around all these new products because it's been so long since they've done anything at all that it's going to be hard to resist spending tens of thousands of dollars upgrading all my gear. So that's all that. I think, as I said before, we're in for a very exciting fall where Apple finally updates all the hardware that has been lingering for over a year now. It's going to be exciting times. It's going to be hard times for people who don't want to spend $5,000 on Apple gear. Indeed, it's going to be hard to resist, but buy yourself something. Buy yourself just one of the things, make yourself feel good and then resist all the rest of the equipment. That's the way to do it. Just buy one thing. That's what I'm telling myself anyway. Okay, we got to touch on this story before we move on to an all new what we're into. As long as we're talking about the Apple Watch, this was one of the most insane stories I have ever seen in the world of Apple. The headline: doctors worry that cocaine users rely on Apple Watch as a lifesaver. Leonard Caney, any experience with this headline?
No.
And I know you're not a doctor. I know you're not the one that's worried. Well, apparently the heart rate monitor in the Apple Watch is so good that, what do they call them? Cokeheads? I don't even know what they're called. I mean, the Coke is such an 80s drug. Is it popular again? Probably. I'm out of touch. That Coke users are using it to do just the right amount of cocaine so they can make sure that they're not about to die. According to a new report, medical experts are concerned that some drug users, particularly people taking cocaine, are using their Apple Watches and other wearables to monitor their heart rate while imbibing the white substance. From the user's perspective, the idea is this could alert them to dangerously high heart rates. I cannot believe people are doing this. While taking drugs, however, doctors point out that the technology does not protect people against the dangers of drug use. This should be on the Apple box, that they should be warning people about this. The article details the story of several semi-regular cocaine users. One describes their... Oh, my gosh. Check this out. One describes monitoring drug use as the only reason they wear a heart rate tracking wearable, saying, quotes, "I want an early warning system for when my heart's going to explode," end quotes. Wait a second. Was this your quote, El Caney?
No, I didn't say that.
Somebody also said when they're doing a line, they'll look to their watch, and if their heart rate is at 150 or 160, they won't do another line. Can you freaking believe 150 or 160 and you're not even exercising?
Right.
That is insane. That is insane. But apparently the heart rate tracker is just that good. Tim Cook must be very proud, y'all.
Is there a special cocaine workout setting?
Yeah, they should do the Apple Watch cocaine edition where it's just completely...
Close your rings.
Yeah, exactly.
Open
goal. It comes with a beautifully designed Apple straw. And the entire thing is just totally whited out, you know? It has a special cocaine Apple Watch face where it's just the cocaine dust blowing around the Apple Watch face. Apple's got a market here. They should consider. This might be a bigger market than they think.
This might be what's gumming up all those MacBook keyboards.
Oh, your keyboard looked rather dusty in that picture that you sent me, Lewis. Come to think of it, what was all that white stuff all over it?
Nothing to
flower. All the keys were worn off. I mean, how high would you have to be? You'd have to be pretty high to type as fast as you would need to type to wear off the keys on your keyboard entirely, I think. Awkward silence on Lewis's
end. This whole story sounds like an onion story to me. I mean, I couldn't believe... I don't know. I mean, some of these quotes are lifted from Reddit. Come on.
I want to believe that this is true, but yeah. I hope no one does.
Hey,
okay,
I want
let's
to know,
go ahead and wrap up with an all-new... What was that, Lewis?
I want to know what meth heads use. Do they use Fitbits because they're less expensive?
Androids, probably.
Android wear.
Imagine a meth head holding onto an Apple Watch for very long. Can you?
Exactly.
I mean, that thing is going to be hawked.
That's a good point. They would have sold it for more meth.
Immediately.
The meth heads don't have iPhones. They don't have technology.
Actually, you know, when we were down south in Alabama, I noticed a lot of Apple Watches. I mean, a lot of people down south or maybe it's just everywhere these days, you know, but I guess, you know, maybe because it's the first time I've been outside of the San Francisco bubble, and you see a lot here, but, you know, it's San Francisco, right? So you expect it. But I saw a lot, you know, we saw them in Birmingham, and we're traveling all around Alabama. I saw a lot of Apple Watches. I was surprised, you know, a lot of people wear them.
That is interesting. I feel like I don't see them on the street very often, but I'm also not looking. I'm not looking to see what people are wearing on the wrist. So it's weird, Leander, that you that you're so observant of that type of thing. You're like, Apple Watch.
Yeah, I don't think you have to be that observant. You know, I wasn't particularly looking for it. It was just, you know, the servers in the restaurant were wearing them, and people in bars and people out in the street, and they had, you know, it was just something. And then when I started to notice it, then I guess I started looking for it. But I noticed a lot of people were wearing them, and from all kinds of, you know, all different walks of life too.
So the people in Alabama are very health conscious, or they like the white stuff. I don't know. I've only been to Alabama once. I can't decide. I can't make that decision. But okay, let's move on to an all new What We're Into. This is the segment where we talk about the things that aren't necessarily technology related that we like in our lives. Does anyone have a good one? Does anyone want to go first? Leander, how about you? Because you just went on a vacation and I have a feeling you're going to tell us about some of it.
Actually, I wasn't going to tell. I was going to talk about something else. But on the vacation, we had quite a funny episode where we did some fishing for the first time. Like, I've never fished in my life.
I was just going to say, I can't picture you fishing.
No, I've never done it. So we went to, my son wanted to do some fishing. We wanted to do some surf fishing because the water's so beautiful down there. Hmm. And we went to, anyways, the whole thing was an ordeal because you've got to get a special fishing license in Alabama, a saltwater fishing license. We went to Walmart and we got a pole, and the people there were super helpful. They gave us all the stuff we needed, including the bait and everything. And then we finally did get a fishing license, and we went and we were surfing in the surf, and it's beautiful, you know, the Gulf waters of the Gulf of Mexico. Almost immediately, like literally the first cast, we got this catfish, and we're pulling the catfish out. And just as we're about to pull it from the surface of the water, this shark comes up and tries to eat the thing off the line. And we freaked out. We were like, "Whoa, what the heck?"
Was it a big one? Was it a hammerhead?
No. It wasn't very big. But it was big enough, and it was freaky enough, you know, because this thing's right in your face. By the time we got our courage to go back in the water again, we threw the line in, and literally in the second cast, we caught a shark.
And wow.
It was probably a couple of feet long. It's this guy told us after it's a black tip. The thing was thrashing like crazy. I mean, it was almost pulling the rod out of my son's hand. And he was trying to reel it in, and then it kind of went slack, and we were like, "Oh my god, it's coming towards us!" And lo and behold, it was. You know. Anyway, in the end,
you want a piece? Okay.
it thrashed itself off the line, but then there was two or three of them started circling around. We were freaked out. We started screaming. And I filmed this. It was pretty comical, you know. Like my son spots this shark, he goes, "Shark!" And then I got it on the video. And then we're all screaming, and we started running in, and we caused a panic. It was just like the movie Jaws, you know, when someone says shark and everyone starts running in. This little girl started running in, screaming and crying. I felt awful, you know, because the thing's really small. I mean, there's no way it's going to.
Did
be
you realize
to
it
us.
Was just a catfish at some point?
No. Well, this guy pointed out to us, like, there was a guy in the water who had some experience. Well, we were with this other guy who was like an experienced fisherman, and he freaked out too. He started running in.
Oh, that's so how you know you got a bolt.
I know. It was kind of like his panic that set us off. anyways, it's on my Instagram. I thought it was really funny, and I put it up on my Instagram if anyone wants to check it out.
What's your Instagram? It's what's your
just
Instagram?
L. Caney.
L. Caney. Yeah, I want to check that out.
It
Did anyone
pretty
start
funny.
Screaming like a girl and panicking?
Yeah. It's comical. It's totally funny. Anyway, so now we're all into fishing, you know. So now we're going to get some fishing.
Big fishers.
We're going to go fishing here in San Francisco.
Going to hit the waters of San Francisco. Is there?
Oh, yeah.
I guess there is some
salmon,
good fishing around there.
Oh, yeah. Salmon season's opening up soon. In fact, I think it just opened. And you can catch some really fantastic salmon here.
Salmon in San Francisco?
Yeah.
I never would have guessed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where at? Maybe you should go shark hunting.
Well, they go outside the Golden Gate, you know, all the way up.
Really?
Either side. North in Marin or south, you know, like San Mateo County.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can get a charter boat. I don't think it's that expensive.
Hmm. Charter boat?
Yeah, but then, you know, I mean, it's great whites out there. That's some serious sharks.
In the San Francisco Bay Area?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Really?
You know, Farallon Islands, just 25 miles off. Yeah, they're really, really scary. I mean, there was someone went out on, you can take a charter boat out there. And a few years ago, someone caught video of an orca eating a great white, right, you know, like 15 feet from the boat. This thing is a battle of the giants. They're thrashing around, you know, and the orca actually beat the great white, which is crazy.
Well, they're significantly larger, aren't they?
Yeah. But, you know, who wants to take on a great white? Are you mad?
A killer whale? Like,
Yeah, right. Hence the name. Yeah, good point.
These great whites are like, you know, 15, 17 feet long. They're big, you know.
Monsters.
Of, yeah,
how
it's like
big
the
is an orca whale? I don't even know. How big is an orca whale?
Bigger than a great white.
I would imagine that he could open his mouth and just put the great white in there and just chomp on it.
Yeah, I think that's basically what happened.
Probably like
a bit in half. Yeah.
The tail might be sticking out or something.
Jeez.
Right. I mean, what's the great white going to do? He might just bite him. He's like, ow. You know, but he can't like fit the orca in his mouth.
Well, he could take a big chunk out of him if he's like, you know, if he catches him unawares.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, that's kind of the whole point of this was like, I actually want to talk about something else. This fantastic thing that I just discovered.
Oh, jeez. Landers into so many things. Please continue.
I'll keep this one quick. It's called Bondic. It's liquid plastic that sets, you know, using a little UV flashlight.
Yeah.
I used it to repair my son's headphones. We bought him some Beats headphones. Used and they're actually really good. And that's another thing I'm into. These Beats headphones sound really, really good, even though people hate them.
Oh, by the way, gosh, I should have mentioned this earlier. Apple just started their back to school program, and you can get a free $300 pair of Beats Solo 3 wireless headphones with your MacBook Pro purchase right
now. Yeah, I was looking, I saw that. I was like, huh.
So it's a great time to buy a MacBook Pro.
In case you have that on your mind?
Yeah, in case you're thinking about it. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but anyway, I was going to forget.
He snapped the headband like in half, and this is the kind of thing that would just, you cannot glue this, right? Because it takes so much strain,
mm-hmm.
And there's no way. I mean, it's going to break immediately. But this plastic Bondic stuff creates, you can layer it, and it actually, it creates a really good, you layer the plastic on it front and back, and so... It wasn't just a bond. It was like a whole, it's a whole new material, like a sleeve over the bond, and it worked fantastic. You put it on as a liquid, and then you shine the light on it, and it cures it in 4 to 8 seconds. So it's almost instantaneous.
What happens if you accidentally glue it to your finger?
You can't. Well, it's not like super glue.
Uh-huh.
It remains liquid until the light shines on it, and you don't actually get it on your fingers. And I found it really easy to apply. You squeeze out of this tube and you just put on a few millimeters at a time. Put on a little bit at a time and then cure it and then put on some more. And so you build up layers, and it was really easy to do. It made it actually really quite a nice looking bond. It's on there. It's actually sort of translucent.
Okay, so what is this stuff called again?
Bondic.
Bondig.
Bondic, B-O-N-D-I-C.
Sounds
Bondic.
Like a band name.
And it's a the URL for the product is notaglue.com. They make
Wait,
a big
it a
deal. I bought it on Kickstarter like last year, and I've been sitting in the garage for a while. I hadn't used it, and then I fixed my glasses too. Like I broke this pair of really nice glasses I have. Mm-hmm. These prescription glasses are super expensive, and they broke at the bridge, and it's almost impossible to glue that together. I mean, how the heck are you going to do it? But I put this Bondic stuff on it, and it's fantastic. You can't even see it because it's almost the same material. They have translucent, translucency through frames.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really can't see where the bond is, and it's really, really good. It's flexible, it's super strong, and it fixes these glasses
and
these headphones.
So it's like some new material.
Yeah, it's really, really clever. It's really, really good stuff. They use it, they advertise it for repairing, like frayed cables, like a MacBook charger. You know how they always like fray, the cable frays at the end, And so this is really good for that. It's flexible, really easy to put on, super, super long lasting. It really is fantastic. I can't wait to go home and fix a whole bunch of stuff,
Well, this is certainly not what I was expecting you to tell us about.
And it's pretty cheap. Like, you can get a starter kit for like $20.
God, I gotta borrow this, Leander. He says it works underwater, can be painted. I gotta borrow it. I got something I need to fix.
Tastes great in salad dressings. I mean, it's just very multifunctional.
Yeah.
Okay. Notaglue.com, Bondic. And I'll go next. You can take us home, Lewis. So, do you guys ever watch Saturday Night Live?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Do you know who their saxophone player is, Lewis?
I don't think I know the saxophone player.
The guy who leads the band?
Yeah.
He is incredible, isn't he? I've always loved sax. I wanted to play sax my entire life. I got talked into playing clarinet when I was joining band
in fifth grade.
Yeah. I wanted to be a sax player, and they're like, no, there's too many sax players. Everyone wants to play the sax. You used to play the clarinet. And like a fool, I listened to them, and I hated the clarinet. It's one of the worst instruments ever created. And anyway, I always wanted to play the sax. And he's probably one of my favorite sax players that I've heard. His name is Lenny Pickett. I always knew he was good because I've watched SNL for years and years. And just the tones that he gets out of his saxophone and the passion that he plays with is unparalleled. Maybe Kenny G might be able to touch it. But that was a joke. You guys didn't get it. But anyway.
Well, I did get it.
Yeah. Just, you guys are like, really? He likes Kenny?
I was laughing inside.
Kenny G, really? So I was stumbling across some Lenny Pickett YouTube videos recently, and I found this video series of him giving a class to this group of high school kids, like it's some musical high school or something, and he was just telling them how to get these different tones out of his saxophone. I was sitting there watching this video, and I realized this guy is not just a really good sax player, he's like a musical genius. He plays flutes. He plays virtually every clarinet that has ever been made, of which there's like five or six. There were clarinets that he was talking about and that he had that I didn't even know were out there. He plays all the different saxophones, and he plays them all so skillfully. it just reminded me of that old Steve Martin quote. I don't know if you guys have heard it. Somebody was asking him, like, hey, how do you make it in Hollywood? How do you become famous? And Steve Martin said, you have to be undeniably good. And that's what I was thinking when I was watching Lenny Pickett perform in front of this group of high school kids. He was just as humble as you could be, nonchalantly playing scales and different pieces that he had in his repertoire and that he had composed. And they were all sitting there slack-jawed. They couldn't believe they were in the presence of such an amazing musician. He is incredible. He is like, I want to say he's a national treasure. And I hesitate to say that because I've used that to describe other musicians in the past. And it kind of sounds hokey, but I think it's really true. He's so good at what he does. He's such a master musician, a master woodsman, that I think that that label actually applies to him. Anyway, I'll link to this series of YouTube videos in the show notes if you want to check him out, if you're interested in saxophone or if you just like music in general. Because he goes through and he just talks about how he plays the sax, what you need to do to get good at playing an instrument. And then he goes through and plays, you know, different pieces that he wrote or that he knows. And I found it to be completely fascinating. So it was filmed in like 2011. It's kind of old, but it's still a fun watch. So I'll put that in the show notes. Man. My pick is Lenny Pickett.
What a resume that guy has. Played with Tower of Power in the 70s. And oh my God, it's recorded with everyone.
And he goes through. One of the kids asked him how he ended up getting the job for Saturday Night Live, and he goes through and talks about the things that connected him to that job. And through that series of stories, he talks about what you need to do to make it as a professional musician. And his message to these kids was so great. I'll just tell you, since most people probably won't go check this video out. He said, number one, say yes to everything, right? And this is just a great rule for becoming good at anything or going into the line of work that you want to go into. Say yes to everything. Show up on time was rule number two. And number three, don't complain. He's like, if you do those three things, you'll make it as a professional musician, you know, playing an instrument professionally. And that's also three great rules for virtually any job out there, right? Like most people don't do those three things, or they complain a lot, or they're just kind of lazy. And I thought it was a great testament to his work philosophy and why he's so successful. Anyway, that's my pick. What do you got for us, Lewis?
Well, mine is vacation related, just as Leander's fishing pick. I just got back from Portugal, and what I'm into right now is port wine.
Ooh. What do they call that in Portugal?
Porto.
Oh.
Port wine.
It's not nearly as romantic as I would have thought.
Yeah, port wine. I'm such a novice about this, you know, but after going there and spending some time in the Douro Valley where they grow the grapes to make this stuff and visiting a port lodge in the town of Porto, I know a little bit about it, and it's pretty interesting. I mean, there's these different kinds of it's just like anything else. Like, you know, you start to get into it, you start to look at it, and you go, oh my God, there's all these different varieties, all these different things, and it's totally confusing. I mean, I had been exposed to port in the old days, you know, people have, you know, every once in a while somebody show up with a bottle of port, whatever. California, there's a few people that drink wine, right? but port it's got this kind of fascinating history. It's grown in this beautiful Douro river valley. It's east of Porto, and it's like this beautiful winding river that goes between these giant mountainsides, and they've got these terraced vineyards with these stone walls. It's unbelievable looking the way they've transformed this landscape into a wine growing area. They've been doing this for hundreds of years, and they make this wine there. They ended up, what they would do then is ship it down the river on boats down to Porto, which is the port city, and then they would eventually ship it, I guess, mostly to England. I mean, it started with England, actually. The reason that they started making wine there, or how it got kickstarted or whatever, was there was a war between England and France, and they basically didn't want to drink the French wine, or couldn't get the French wine, and they needed wine, so they went to Portugal.
Cut off, yeah.
And they ended up
British to go to war over wine. Typical.
It's a very nice side effect. They and the way that they make port is that they add They add neutral spirit to it, which boosts the alcohol, cuts it.
Well, there you go. That's why it's so popular in England.
And it kills the bacteria, or not that the bacteria, it kills the yeast, which stops the fermentation process and means it's sweeter, more residual sugar, and also boosts in alcohol. And then that made it easier to transport, stabilize it or whatever, so they could, you know, send it on a boat to England. But, you know,
can I ask? Port wine is kind of sweet, isn't it?
It is.
It's always, a really sweet wine.
It's sweet, yeah. And there's a couple. I mean, basically, roughly, you could divide it into a couple of styles, like ruby and tawny. I mean, everybody says tawny, but over there they say tawny. I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce it. I would say tawny now. That's what everybody said in Portugal. Anyway, the ruby could be, you know, the cheapest stuff you get. Always kind of fruity, kind of red, bright red, or it can also. But it's also the vintage port, which is like the best thing that you can get, you know, and only a little tiny portion of what they make it becomes vintage port. It has to go like be bureaucratically approved by this institute, and it's only the best of the best, and they bottle it up really after only a couple of years in wood barrels. They bottle it, and then that's the stuff that becomes like totally collectible, because it's like, oh, you should really store this for 40 years. And I found some of these that are hundreds of years old, and they open a bottle and it's great. Supposedly,
what?
I don't know. It's crazy. Yeah, but then the tawny port is aged much longer in these wooden casks, and because it's aged in these casks, which are porous, and there's, you know, the different way they process or whatever, more oxidation happens. It becomes browner, kind of an orange brown look. It's kind of see through it.
Browner the better. That's what I always say about my ports.
But it's got a different, you know, but very delicious flavor. And you know, they take various ones. It's kind of, you know, it's like they might say 10-year tawny or 20-year tawny, and so that might be a 2-year old and an 18-year-old, and the average age is 10, right? It's just like whiskey, the way they make whiskey, and they say, oh, it's a, you know, a 12-year-old whiskey. Well, that might be a 2-year-old and a 20-year-old mixed, right? It's an average age. Anyway.
I think you pitched a type of alcohol on a previous What We're Into. Didn't you?
Is that, should I be ashamed?
I'm just starting to realize all this alcohol talk that I do about LK, I think I got the wrong guy. I think it's you that's going out and drinking all the ales and getting into all the bar fights.
I like to think that I have an adventurous palate and a little bit of you know, appreciation for alcohol.
Or maybe it's just that you've known Leander Caney too long. Well, you used to be like a good schoolboy, and now look at you. You're out there drinking ports. You're going to Portugal to get it right off the tap. Maybe getting in a bar fight here and there,
Yeah, well, let's just say, you know, we both got our start in journalism, right? And
right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, port wines, Lenny Pickett, and Bondick. Probably one of the stranger What We're Into's that we've ever had, but there you go. Those are the things that we're currently into. I think we should go ahead and wrap it up there. We're mega long already, mega long this week, but there was a lot to talk about. So let's call that a show. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come tell us about what your What We're Into picks are, we're on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. I'm at Airfon. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. Leander is at L. Caney. This has been the cult cast, the best 30 plus extra long minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. Want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. I'm sweating so bad. It's 86 in here.
Why is it so hot? Is the heat wave up there?
Yeah, it's 86 outside, and it's 86 in here. I have no AC.
Maybe you should have opened a window and let a bunch of diesel trucks run by, thoroughly ruining the audio of the podcast.
I have my windows open, but I'm not in the middle of the city like Leander. I don't have to hear homeless people shouting expletives at each other.
I can't believe you can hear it.
Oh, God, it's horrible.
Oh, my
horrible.
Gosh.
It
sounds like you're on a freeway.
go.
Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Wasn't all too right. Bad, was it?
No, sounded B-E-A-utiful. As your favorite person, Jim Carrey, would say. Just think, a whole weekend of Jim Carrey and Coldplay. That's like the perfect weekend, isn't it, Leander? What could be better?
I heard a Coldplay song actually recently that I thought was quite good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, though.
Well, they got a lot of good ones.
No, they don't.
You'll come around. You'll come around. Wouldn't it be funny if you actually did come around and they became your favorite band? That would be the best day of my life.
Yeah, I doubt that very much, but I'm open-minded.
All right, well, keep trying.